it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. I am Richie Farrell, and here are the headlines. IOM Community Engagement Officer Maxine Allen Esprey says ham radio training will include emergency communication. St. Kitts and Nevis government claim that Ramada Resort continues apace, raises more questions than answers. And self-declared interim president Juan Guaido says Venezuelans live in dictatorship under Maduro. The news is brought to you, compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. More details after this.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Welcome back. First up in the news, six contestants of the Miss DSC Mass Jamboree 2019 will be officially launched in the quadrangle at the DSC Upper Campus at 11:45 a.m. on Thursday, January 31st, 2019. President of the DSC, Dr. Donald Peters, as well as pageant organizers and contestants, will deliver brief speeches during the launch. The Miss Mass Jamboree show will be held on Wednesday, February 27th, 2019 at 5 p.m. at Carnival City. The contestants will appear at the pageant in the following sequence: Halle Bruni, Christelle Farrell, Shireen Mills, LaShawn Bellot, Shelis Bell, and Betty Ann Tavernier. This is Q95 News. A six-week training in amateur radio operation, or ham radios, with a specialization in emergency communication will be offered by Immigration Office of Migration, IOM, in collaboration with the Dominica Amateur Radio Club, Inc., Darcy, starting today, Wednesday, the 30th of January 2019 at the St. Mary's Academy. Amateur radio, also known as ham radio, describes the use of radio, the frequency spectrum, for purposes of non-commercial exchange of messages, wireless experimentation, self-training, private recreation, radio sport, contesting, and emergency communication. Community engagement officer at the International Organization for Migration, Maxine Allen Esprey, said ham radio training will be offered to interested persons in Dominica to assist them with communication after a disaster. Allen Esprey says after Hurricane Maria, when all the traditional phone lines were down, ham radios were an essential way of communicating with the emergency services such as the police, firemen, hospital, and the outside world. Esprey added that the training will help to improve capacity across Dominica and the outside world in order to enable communication in the event of a disaster. The training will begin again today, Wednesday, 30th January 2019 at the St. Mary's Academy. General Manager of the Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation, DSWMC, Florian Mitchell, says some progress has been made in removing derelict vehicles from the Roseau City area or center. Mitchell says since the campaign was launched last year, 200 vehicles have already been removed. The Ministry of the Environment, Climate Resilience and Urban Renewal announced in September 2018 that it was embarking on the drive in collaboration with the Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation and encouraged owners of derelict vehicles to contact the corporation if they needed assistance. Based on the survey we had from the Environmental Health Department, we were looking at about 600 vehicles that needed to be removed from our end. We probably removed 200 of those vehicles around the Independence season, Mitchell said. Although we have made some progress, we still have a long way to go, but it is dependent on the public to understand what it is that we are trying to achieve and to work with us to achieve it. He said they are trying to work with the public, and if some people are having any difficulty removing their vehicles, the Solid Waste Management Corporation is providing assistance. That is why we are asking the people that have derelict vehicles to come to the Environmental Health or Solid Waste office to give us consent to move the vehicle, he explained. Mitchell added, we had a program from last year around Independence season, and it's still ongoing, that we have been trying to facilitate the public at a minimal cost to them compared to other services that would probably cost you $500 from La Plaine to Roseau. It's something that the public should capitalize on, seeing that all we ask is you give us consent. He said, however, that they are facing some challenges in getting some people to cooperate with this campaign. Somebody may have a vehicle for the past 20 years, and as soon as they give you consent or you try to remove it, they tell you different parts of their vehicle are good. But by the definition of the law, it is a derelict vehicle and it needs to be removed, Mitchell stated. So people with vehicles that may have a salvageable item, we ask them to remove and put it within the confines of their property, not on the side of the road, inside of your garage and at your home, and then the shell, we get rid of it, he says. He said derelict vehicles may be taking up parking space, especially in communities where there is one road. If those vehicles are removed, Mitchell pointed out, there will be parking space for roadworthy vehicles. He encouraged owners of derelict vehicles to take advantage of the measures that have been put in place to assist them and not wait for the law to take its course and result in offenders being brought before the court. After 3 years, we're going to take you before the court, and we do not want to go that way, he says. So the best thing is to remove it, he cautioned. Mitchell also drew attention to the negative effect that derelict vehicles could have on public health. We all can understand the implication of having a derelict vehicle in a particular location. That is a concern for health-related issues from rats and mosquitoes. They all lead to transmitting things like Zika, dengue, and leptospirosis, and we want the public to be mindful of that, he said. Once you understand that aspect, to give consent should be easy, and to have a clean environment is something we should all aspire to do. Mitchell encourages the media to spread the message on how derelict vehicles can negatively affect the environment and the need to continue to promote a clean and green Dominica. In more news, Venezuela's Supreme Court bans opposition leader Juan Guaido from leaving the country and freezes his bank accounts. The move comes amid an escalating power struggle after Mr. Guaido declared himself interim president last week. He is being backed by the United States and other countries. President Nicolas Maduro has major allies too, including Russia. A group of North and South American countries has meanwhile opposed any outside military involvement. Peru's Foreign Minister Nestor Papeles said the Lima Group, a 14-country body including Canada, set up in 2017 to find a peaceful solution to the crisis in Venezuela, was opposed to military intervention. U.S. officials have said all options to resolve the crisis are on the table. And after its revival in 2001, over the weekend, Colonel Joseph Raymond told the Cadet Corps movement to work together to serve the nation. The Dominica Cadet Corps now comprises 300 strong. Raymond believes that unity among the movement will ensure its steady growth and development of the members. He spoke at the Cadet Corps ceremony held over the weekend.
I encourage all members of Dominica Cadet Corps to continue and stand together with loyalty, pride, and dedication to serve our nation as we pursue the vision and journey to play our part in helping to build the best Cadet Corps, the best Dominica that we can. together. Let us continue to strive for excellence, working with all elements of national pride. We are privileged to serve.
Colonel Joseph Raymond, a Barbados-based trust named the Maria Holder Memorial Trust has made major investments in the rehabilitation of five major primary schools here on island. Trafalgar Primary School saw its keys being presented to the Ministry of Education on Tuesday morning at Trafalgar Grounds. Consultant advisor to the Maria Holder Memorial Trust, MHMT, Jane Armstrong says this project began with the vision of early childhood education. So collaborative works began with the Chief Education Officer of Dominica, as well as others within this ministry. Through this collective effort, a project was drawn up for six pre-K schools across the island. The six schools are Trafalgar, Concord, Bells, Warner, Roseau, and Wharton Waven.
With the Chief Education Officer, we sat down together and with others in the ministry, we drew up a project for pre-K buildings in the six schools that we were originally talking about. And unfortunately, with all donors and things, it takes a while for proposals to go through and so on. So in the middle of all that, unfortunately, Maria came along. And I think we were able to respond well to that, because I obviously realised that we couldn't go into schools that were hurricane damaged, build a brand new unit like this, and then leave the rest of the school in disrepair and needing repairs. So we redid the project, we presented it to our board again, and the project became refurbishment and rebuild. Just to tell you the schools, Trafalgar is a school for refurbishment and rebuild. Concord is for a pre-K. Bells is refurbishment and new build. Warner, refurbishment and rebuild. Roseau, rebuild. When I say rebuild, I mean the pre-K unit. And we do have Wharton Waven on the list as well, but as yet we haven't, that is not part of phase two, but we hope it could be part of phase three.
Consultant advisor to the Maria Holder Memorial Trust, MHMT, Jane Armstrong. A major fire in Roseau sees one man taken into the hospital and two houses severely damaged and burnt. This is according to station officer and public relations officer of the Dominica Fire and Ambulance Services, Wayne Later. Mr. Later says at approximately 8:30 p.m., the Roseau station responded to the call about a fire near the Big Edge Financial Center in Roseau. The fire affected two residential structures, which housed three families, inclusive of the owner. One victim was taken to the hospital. Investigations are ongoing, but the cause of the fire is suspected to be of electrical nature.
I can confirm that on Monday, January 28, 2019, at approximately 8:30 p.m., officers at the Roseau Fire Station responded to a fire call in Roseau. That blaze occurred at Hillsborough Street near the Big Edge Financial. The fire affected two residential structures, one a building owned by Mr. Glario Alvan Antoine, which was subdivided into three residential units, one of which was occupied by the owner, Mr. Anwar Charles, was a tenant in one of the units. Two of the units and their contents, including that of the owner, were totally gutted, while the third sustained significant damage. A second building owned and occupied by Allison Harrison Williams also sustained marginal fire damage to a section of its roof. Mr. Antoine was transported to the accident and emergency department of the PMH by the ambulance for observation, and he was later discharged. Investigation revealed that the fire origin was in the residence of Mr. Antoine. The cause of fire was suspected to be of an electrical nature.
Later commended the many citizens on and off-duty officers as well who assisted in handling the fire and gave special thanks to Mr. Kendall Durant. At the same time, he says safety is key and persons should allow the emergency response crew to handle their duties without interference.
We at the Dominica Fire and Ambulance Services Division wish to commend the on-duty crew and other off-duty personnel who performed selflessly in controlling that blaze. We'd also like to thank the general public who assisted the fire officers at the scene last night. Special thanks to Mr. Kendall Dira, an employee of the Wasco, as he greatly assisted in ensuring that that we had a steady water supply and that was maintained with ease. The division would also like to advise the public that care should be exercised and safety recognized at all incidents. Persons must always allow for emergency response personnel to execute their responsibilities without any hindrances and render assistance as prescribed by the emergency response crews. The Dominica Fire Ambulance Services remain committed to the protection of life and property of the citizens of the Commonwealth of Dominica and the visitors to our shore. We express deep regret to the persons who have suffered loss because of the blaze.
That was Stations Officer and Public Relations Officer of the Dominica Fire and Ambulance Service, Wayne Later. VF Inc. hosted its 9th annual Phenomenal Caribbean Women's Symposium on January 26, 2019, under the theme, What You Can Conceive, You Can Achieve, because God has the power to deliver what He promises. According to Chief Executive Officer of VF Inc., Dr. Valda Henry, the event was a complete success, and the objectives achieved at this symposium were as follows: to celebrate the successes of Caribbean women, to allow Caribbean women to tell their stories of success, triumph over adversity, challenges, pain, joy, and blessings, to inspire women to determine, rediscover, and achieve their life's purpose, to demonstrate that achieving one's life purpose is possible, to develop a personal action plan towards achieving one's life purpose, to reaffirm the role of women as healers of the nation, and establish a network of support and opportunities for women here. The presentations at the 9th Annual Phenomenal Caribbean Women Symposium were, Marceline Peters out of Trinidad and Tobago, Marlene Manwati, and Jessica Roxanne Bruni from Dominica. Dr. Henry spoke to Q95 FM on Tuesday.
Phenomenal Caribbean Women's Symposium, by God's grace, was a phenomenal success. Powerfully inspiring and inspired messages came from the speakers as well as the participants. And when we left, you know, every year I say it's better and different, and every year has its own energy. And this energy of the 9th was one that floored me, because I'm telling you, new things are happening. In fact, we are here to say thank you. For the first time in our 9 years, we have the speakers making the round after the event. Typically, we have them before the event, but it was just wonderful. And you know, we had the weekend sleepover for the first time, the full weekend. And you know, they want to go back to Cabaret, so that we are going to host the first event, follow-up event, as a weekend in Cabaret for the women who were present and for other past participants. They have a chat, a WhatsApp group, and it's buzzing. They're just full of own praise for it. You know, it's just wonderful.
And that was Chief Executive Officer of VF Inc., Dr. Valda Henry. We apologize for that delay in the insert. Q95 News can confirm the results of the Ronald Charles Rosal Valley Basketball League 2018 to 2019 season. Game 16, which was held on 13th January 2019 at Trafalgar at 7:30 p.m., saw the Police Sports Club score 60 points against the Castle Bruce basketball team, which scored just 58 points, 2 points below. The top scorers from Castle Bruce were Curtis McPherson with 14 points and Kurt with 21 points. The Police Sports Club scorers were Caleb Challenger with 11 points and Nathan Sebastian with 15. Game 17, which was held on the 14th of January 2019 at Trafalgar at 7:30 p.m., saw the SWAT basketball team score 58 points and the benchers 40 points. The top scorers for SWAT were Tilon Birmingham with 13 points and Kieta Francis with 30 points. For the benchers, the top scorers were Dexter Bannis, who scored 15 points, and Javid, 8 points. in Game 18, held on 16th January 2019 at Trafalgar at 7:30 p.m. The Police Sports Club scored 52 points against the Roseau Central basketball team, which scored 53 points. The top scorers for Game 18 for the Police Sports Club were John James with 14 points, Caleb Challenger 13 points, and Nathan Sebastian 10. For the Roseau Central basketball team, the top scorers, McRae Edwards, who scored 12 points, and Kelsey Guy with 27 points. And lastly, for Game 19 held on 17th January at Trafalgar at 7:30 p.m., the Thunderers, 47 points. They lost to the Wharton Waven Sulphurs basketball team, which scored 79 points. The top scorers for Wharton Waven Sulphur were Junior Isles with 17 points, Yudi John with 15 points, Craig St. Rose 26, and Ronnie Bruno with 10 points. For the Thunderers, the top scorers were Hilson Maryland, who scored 16 points, and Shaka Dangleben, who scored 10 points. In more news, a January 17, 2019 press release issued by the Office of the St. Kitts and Nevis Prime Minister, Dr. Timothy Harris, entitled "Construction on the St. Kitts Ramada Resort Continues Apace. Developer's Eye, September 2019 opening date," has raised more questions than answers in the absence of any real evidence of the claimed progress. The press statement followed a visit to the construction site by a bevy of senior government officials, including Harris and Attorney General Vincent Byron, along with Ying Jin, the Chief Executive Officer of the developer's Caribbean Galaxy Real Estate Corporation, and other company executives. And Venezuela's opposition leader has told the BBC that people are living in a dictatorship and renewed his calls for fresh elections. Juan Guaido declared himself interim leader last week and has been recognized by more than 20 countries, including the United States. President Nicolas Maduro retains the support of Russia, but has accused the United States of illegal interference. At least 40 people are believed to have died in recent unrest, the United Nations says. Protests have been growing since Mr. Maduro began a second term as president this month. He was elected last year during a controversial vote in which many opposition candidates were barred from running or were jailed. And now, here is the weather outlook for Dominica and the Lesser Antilles, valid from 6 a.m. Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. A surface trough is expected to be the dominant feature across the area during this morning. This is expected to generate some scattered showers, mainly across the Leeward Islands and the islands south of Dominica. Afterwards, a relatively drier atmosphere is expected to reduce shower activity as a high-pressure system is projected to rebuild across this area. Moderate seas are expected during the next 24 to 48 hours, with waves peaking near 7 feet. And that's the morning news, but first a recap of our headlines. IOM Community Engagement Officer Maxine Allen Esprit says ham radio training will include emergency communication. St. Kitts and Nevis government claim that Ramada Resort continues apace, raises more questions than answers. And self-declared interim president Juan Guaido says Venezuelans live in a dictatorship under Mr. Maduro. The news was brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens.